Old Sweats slaughtered the teeming hordes of Germany, firing at such a speed that the Germans imagined they were being fired on by massed machine guns. The BEF had been forced to retreat only by the collapse of the French forces on their flank. Next, a further glorious stand at Le Cateau, which gave the hapless Germans such a bloody nose that they never again pursued the British so closely. Then the great retreat, before a stunning reversal in fortunes with the miracle of the Marne, when, for apparently inexplicable reasons, a gap suddenly opened up between the onrushing German armies into which the British poured, forcing the Germans into a chaotic retreat. After a valiant pursuit by the British, the Germans turned and finally stood firm on the Aisne. Thwarted, both armies engaged in the tumultuous race to the sea before the final drama on the battlefields of Ypres ending on the 22nd of November. Here, the BEF held back the tide and ensured that Germany could not win the war in 1914. As far as this fairy tale version of 1914 is concerned, Britain's sacrifice and military prowess was second to none. The aim of this book is to place the British role in 1914 into a proper historical context. Indeed, as a narrative, it has a far greater resonance when we are truthful about the manifest deficiencies of the small numbers of the BEF, just 120,000 when the fighting started, when caught up in a vast continental war where armies marched in their millions. The British regulars were skillful soldiers, courageous and adaptable in the near impossible circumstances they found themselves. But they and their commanders lacked practice in many of the disciplines of modern warfare. We learn the truth about the German army they faced, not the caricature of hordes of automatons, but the reality of a well-trained and superlatively equipped force that outfought the BEF in the early battles. We can also come to a full appreciation of the role of the French army. Brave soldiers, if anything too brave, marching to their deaths in their teeming thousands in August 1914. But the French army dug deep within itself. Led by the determined figure of General Joseph Joffre, the French would, in the end, outmaneuver the German armies at the Battle of the Marne. By this time, some of the harsh lessons of modern warfare had been grasped by the more adaptable British commanders, and from that time onwards, the BEF demonstrated its value on plentiful occasions during that fraught autumn and desperate winter. Overall, we can admire the achievements of the BEF in conjunction with those of their allies on the long, hard road that led to Ypres in November 1914. Here, fighting side by side with the French, the old contemptibles engaged in a defensive clash that, at times, defied belief as the Germans pressed forward in huge numbers, desperate to secure a decisive victory before the end of the year. Although the Battle of Ypres cannot really be seen as a victory, at least the Allies managed to avoid a defeat that would have been calamitous. The war would go on, and the Germans would lose. The BEF played a full and splendid part in this epic tale. There is no need for vainglorious embellishment. The most vibrant depiction of war incorporates the personal experience of the men who actually did the fighting, within a solid framework based on recent research. Every soldier has his own story, but I have chosen accounts that blend together to give a coherent idea of what was really happening in 1914, avoiding getting too bogged down in layers of detail that confuse far more than they can ever elucidate. In a war of such size and intensity, it is impossible to cover every battle, every unit, every incident, but I have tried to give a representative picture without disrupting the narrative of this remarkable story. Chapter 1. Small Beginnings. Therefore I say that it is a narrow policy to suppose that this country or that is to be marked out as the eternal ally or the perpetual enemy of England. We have no eternal allies, and we have no perpetual enemies. Our interest